What's up, y'all? It's 10-3 time at Tennessee. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a really good weekend. Hope everything is going well in your life here on this Monday, January the 12th, 2026. And for some reason, the light is bothering me right up there in front of my face. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on there. But I don't think anybody's done anything wrong necessarily. I think I just looked up and I was like, whoa, that feels brighter than feels hot. Feels coming in hot today. But that's all right, because there's a lot of hot things going on out there. Don't we have, by the way, with Lord of the Streams, Tom Barclay and Mr. Daniel back there, don't we have a very special video to show today?
Live video, actually.
Let's see if we have it.
Look at that. Right outside. Right. That's right outside right now, the WBIR. No. World headquarters.
That's actually not true. It's a live view of the portal.
Absolutely not true. That is the transfer portal. That's going on in Hawaii. Look at that. What are we calling it? Pyrocastic flow. It's just a great name.
I think it's just actually an eruption at this point. I mean, look at it. It's actually getting airtime there.
It's actually. I mean, it's. And you know what? I hope nobody's too close to that.
I think it'll be okay.
I'm hoping.
As long as this camera stays live, I feel like everything is okay.
That's all right. We're good. We got a lot. That is, by the way, and that's not the portal, but that's kind of close. There's your live view there of Knoxville, of part of Knoxville anyway, looking there over the highway, looking over around the downtown area. I'm guessing we call it, is that the Sturkey cam we got
over
there?
Yeah, that's downtown on top of the Sturkey.
See, that's what we got going on there. And then obviously we have Gatlinburg, which we can show at any time, which is just always gorgeous. Just always gorgeous. Look at that. Beautiful. Just beautiful today. It is a little colder than I would like it to be. It's pick a lane. Time, you know, it's just pick a lane. Are you going to be 70? Are you going to be 22? What are you going to be? This time of year with that drives me nuts, and also makes me a little bit worried about some of the garden stuff. If I'm being honest,
that's true. I feel like January though typically just stays cold. I don't know why it's decided to be a little temperamental. It's usually February that does the back and forth.
It's things in the world are a little bit just, you know what? It's just kind of the way of the world right now. It feels a little. Feels a little, it's a little tense, a little uneven, a little difficult to explain, difficult to predict what will happen next. And of course, as you know, we are speaking only about sports here on this program. There's a lot of information. We told you on Friday, right? Normally we give the whole 23-hour break. We'll see you in no less than 23 hours. On Friday, we'll see you in no less than 71 hours because we're good at math. And we know that that's the difference between the time we go off Friday, the time we come back on Monday. I told you, probably going to be a lot of news to talk about because there was a lot going on in the portal. And there was a lot going on in the basketball world. The basketball, not so great for the Vols over the weekend, at least for the men. As per usual, they went down to the O-Dome, took one directly on the chin. Got a foot to the posterior, 91-67. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We got some video and some sound we'll have from Rick Barnes and freshman forward Dwayne Brown the second. If we have time, we'll get to that later. Them talking about sort of what went wrong over the weekend, why this team is struggling for consistency, why this team is struggling just maddeningly to turn to take care of the ball, just out of control. Out of control. We'll talk about that later. The good news is they're back at home this whole week. They're usually better at home. Now, does that do anything for the long term, what they got to solve, which is taking care of the basketball, especially away from Food City Center? No, not really. But nonetheless, get back, get your bearings. Tennessee usually holds serve at home. Although Kentucky's had some success against Tennessee recently in Knoxville, more so than it had the few years before that. So certainly a lot going on with Tennessee hosting the Texas A&M Aggies Buckyball there on Tuesday night. You talk about a difference. We'll talk about this later too and tomorrow. Texas A&M has gone from buzzball to Buckyball, and that's like a different sport. I mean, they're going from like 60 a game to like 90. And they're chucking it around the yard. They're doing a lot of stuff there. We'll talk about that. And then, obviously, Kentucky coming to town on Saturday for a noon Eastern. Seems like a few years in a row Tennessee's had Kentucky visiting Knoxville on, like, a noonish start. And then Tennessee goes to Lexington for a nighttime start. And it's just a quirk of the schedule. But it's certainly something that if you are you would not complain about it unless you're Texas women's basketball coach Vic Schaefer, who has covered himself in shame for his crybaby remarks over the weekend. Go Google those if you haven't seen him. I think I have him on my social media feed, him crying about the SEC schedule. Welcome to the league, Texas. This is your life now. But there's a lot to talk about with the portal. Tennessee has had a pretty good weekend overall in the portal. Tennessee it's not been perfect. And we'll talk about the Sam Leavitt situation here in a minute. Right now, it seems he's most likely going to LSU. I don't think that's 100% done deal yet, at least as of the time we're recording this, which is 3:06 p.m. Eastern. Let's stress this, 3:06 p.m. Eastern, Monday, January 12th, 2026. I feel like any time in this day and age when you're talking about something on a show, you know how they have like the hostage proof of life videos where you have to show the newspaper? We need like a Greenwich Mean Time, like time stamp on all of these things as we're saying them that just say, by the way, this is what was happening when we said this, because, you know, 30 seconds later, it could be worthless. But as of the time we are recording this and bringing this live to you, it is right now looking more likely than not that Sam Leavitt will go to LSU. I believe he has all but committed there. I don't think he has signed yet, though. I think Tennessee is making a final push there. We'll see. There's a lot going on today. We might have a little more information on Joey Aguilar. He should be getting some news, or at least doing some sort of a call there with his lawyers and the NCAA and the judge over there in the district of Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, where that court date is being held. There could be some information that comes out of that. I think that's going to be sometime naturally around like 3:30 Eastern. So be on the lookout for that, fellas. That could be coming down the pike and changing this entire thing while we're talking about it. It could change the entire episode, the entire show at the snap of a finger. But as of now, there's been some thoughts from Tennessee's end that it's not looking great for the Aguilar extension, the Aguilar suit, everything that's going on there. But there's nothing final there yet that we are aware of. And if Sam Leavitt, if Tennessee doesn't get the news that it wants on Joey Aguilar, maybe that puts it, like, maybe that ups the bid to Sam Leavitt even more, because let's face it, he is, I don't know if you'd call him a 10. I don't know if you'd call him a dime, but let's say this. It's about to be last call, and he's looking pretty good. It's about to be last call, and he's looking pretty good. He is the bell of the ball right now. He is highly sought after by many programs with very deep pockets and a very, very big need for a quarterback. And if you're saying, doesn't Tennessee have 2 5-star freshmen that are going to be on the team next season, and redshirt freshman George McIntyre and true freshman Faison Brandon? Yes, it does. I urge you, however, to go look at this year's playoff teams and go find young quarterbacks. Not a lot of them. A lot of old guys. And really, if you look at team-wide, look at Indiana. I mean, those guys, I think maybe too much has been made of this, but it's an absolute fair storyline that the average age of that Indiana football team, I believe, is 22.5 years old, which, for a sport that's traditionally played by 18 to 22-year-olds, you might call that an outlier. That is old. That's like basically BYU old is what that is. And I don't think they've got a lot of guys who are on LDS missions or anything. They just got some old dudes who have been around and played a lot of college football. And that's helping them, because they're taking some younger teams that have a lot of talent, like, say, Oregon, pushing them all over the yard. And so you're seeing this year, I mean, look at all those teams that were ranked near the top most of the season, old quarterbacks. So it doesn't mean Tennessee can't reverse the trend. Things go in cycles, right? But by and large, right now, as these kind of COVID age guys are kind of, with their extra eligibility, they're kind of going, it's almost the end of that rope finally. And so we'll see what happens with eligibility rules. We'll see where things go in the future. We'll see what happens with some of these lawsuits and whatnot. Trinidad Chambliss trying to basically say tonsillitis should give him an extra season of college football eligibility. So we'll see where that goes. I'm not trying to make light of it. Tonsillitis, I'm sure, sucks. But, you know, I mean, come on. I don't know about that. So if you were like, you know, mono, some stuff like that, okay, maybe. Now, that you could have a point there. That stuff can, get you out for a while and sap your energy. It can, you can lose a lot of weight, which football is not a good thing. So, you know, I'm not trying to minimize someone else's situation, right? I'll never forget laughing heartily for a while at Urban Meyer's esophageal spasms back in the day. And let me tell you, was not laughing a couple years later because I started getting esophageal spasms and I wanted to jump out of a building. It was not fun. So a little karmic retribution, I think, there. So regardless of whether, if that was actually what Urban Meyer was dealing with, bro, I feel you. That stuff ain't fun. That stuff ain't fun at all. It feels like you're swallowing like fiberglass every time that you try to swallow. It's not good. So I don't want to make light of that. But what I'm saying is we don't know what's going on with eligibility rules in the future. And right now, it looks like the older guys, especially some of these older quarterbacks, older guys on the line of scrimmage, grown men, kind of what's going on right now. So, and we've had several conversations about should Tennessee, how should it distribute, if I could use that word correctly, how should it, you know, how should it divvy out this NIL cash, right? I mean, technically it's an infinite amount if you want it to be, if you find enough loopholes. In reality, everybody's got, you know, a cap. It's however much money you can raise. It's however much money your biggest donors are going to want to throw into the pile. It is different for everyone, but everyone at some point, I imagine, would have something resembling a limit. And so then you have to say how much of that pie is going to here, there, everywhere, right? We'll Sam I am it. We'll Dr. Seuss it. But I think that you could make an argument that this season Tennessee was shaded a little bit too much toward the younger guys with some of the money, because you got to pay to get them. Let's be honest. But I think going out heavier in the portal, in hindsight, would have perhaps been the smartest move. And of course, you know, then it gets back to the whole Jacoby Thomas versus Boo Carter thing. That decision, which obviously was the wrong one, I understand why you made that decision at the time, but Jacoby Thomas, still finding a way to get some reps there for that Miami team. He might have been nice to have in Tennessee's really bad secondary this season, and not Boo Carter, who missed a lot of the offseason, and then the season started, and he didn't play great, and then he really didn't care for a while, and then caused some more problems, and then was gone. Now he's at Colorado. So good luck with that. Good luck with that, Dion. That is, hey, the one thing I'll say about Dion, his egos don't get bigger than his. So maybe if somebody could, maybe in a weird way, that could get some things figured out with Boo. Or maybe just being 2,000 miles away will help him. But go. I think it was smarter for him in some ways to not go to Vandy, because that's still a little close to home. I think he needed to get away. So that's what right now Tennessee is having to kind of figure out. You don't have an infinite pile. You do have a large pile of money. And if push came to shove, for the right guy, look at Chaz Coleman, we'll talk about him later, you can go above and beyond if everybody in the building is on board with the guy and the right boosters are on board with the guy and everybody's on the same page and he's worth it. Yeah, you could go a little more. So, and for the right quarterback, listen, you have to pay what you have to pay. It's to go into this day and age with a competitive roster, but to not have a proven quarterback, I won't call it malpractice. That's a bridge way too far. It's dangerous to go into a season where it's a big season for you as a coach. There's no question about it. And you have got some talent. You've done well in the portal. Tennessee right now, hey, when you combine the recruiting class and the portal class, you're looking at a top five-ish class right there. That dog will hunt. But to go into all that and to have the keys going to two freshman quarterbacks, that's a lot, man. Like you've seen some freshmen step in here at times and redshirt freshmen and be big-time players. It's not impossible. Tennessee, just last season, I'm going to say last season because this one technically hasn't ended yet. There's one more game to go. But last season, Tennessee took a redshirt freshman and went to the college football playoff. Now, did he play great throughout the year? Not necessarily. Did he have the full keys to the offense? Not necessarily. Did they need big-time play from the defense to help get there? Absolutely. But it got done. So you can do this. It's just, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to go into this time, this cycle of things, this time in your tenure as a coach with the way college football is going right now. I think I don't want to say there's no limit, but there's virtually no limit to the amount that if I were a coach, I would be begging people to raise to get a veteran, proven quarterback, power four guy on the roster. Or at least like a super talented FCS guy. Somebody who's played college football against people his own age, and the higher level, the better. But it's just not – I think there's an argument to be made that how much in this day and age do you even really go after like five-star high school quarterbacks? Because you know how much money they're going to cost. You know that. You know they're not going to be cheap. And in the way things are going right now, they're not always ready to go help you compete at the highest level, which in this era, more money, more problems. More money, more problems. And so you're going to have people saying, well, you paid all this money for this kid. Why is he not playing? Well, because he'd be making mistakes. Okay, put him out there. Okay, he's making mistakes. But don't worry, it'll be better next year. But what about all that money we gave you this year to be competitive right here, right now? You see the problem here. It's not sustainable. So that's why I think, listen, you let those guys compete. Whoever comes in, those freshmen get a chance, fair and square, to compete. Now, if you could convince like a Sam Levitt, sorry, kids, you're probably not going to start over him. But you at least give them a look. You give them a chance. But you want to go with the older guys normally in this day and age until things cycle back, which maybe at some point they will, right? Maybe they will. But I just think if you can't get Joey Aguilar back, then you just have to go find somebody. If it's not him, they're talking about, you know, Bo Pribula over there at Mizzou. He's got some talent, started his career at Penn State, was at Mizzou last season, had some really impressive times, and then struggled at times. He's out there, but if someone like him's coming in, then I think someone like him is going to have to compete with the freshmen. It's a different level. There are levels to this thing. So if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. And I could think of a lot worse guys to have than him, if that's what it comes down to. I can think of a lot worse guys to have than him. But for the year it is for Heupel, for everything going on, you might have to go a little bit outside your comfort zone. Spend more money than you want, even if it's not a proven thing, something close to it, because that's where you are right now. So we could get some closure on that before we get done recording today. We'll see if there is or not. If not, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But in non-quarterback portal news, Tennessee had a lot of good stuff, and we're going to talk about that coming right back here in just a second on 10 at 3. Secret time.
Yeah, secret time. Still on YouTube.
But I don't know. I think it is objectively funny if Sam Levitt ends up going to LSU, in the sense that, remember the whole thing with Damon Williams and he's committing while he's like signing or trying to sign with LSU while Lane Kiffin is at a game courtside with Sam Levitt, and Sam Levitt's got his phone out and you're like, hey, this is awkward. And so then he leaves. Obviously, he doesn't sign with LSU because thought Damon Williams was. Then he leaves town. Then he goes to Knoxville, extends his visit by a day. Then Lane Kiffin makes a beeline to the airport, flies to Knoxville to hang out basically between Sam Levitt's trip to Tennessee and the one to Miami. And he's sitting there, of course, being Lane, tweeting pictures from McGee Tyson Airport. And you're like, this is just – it's just – does it get better than this? It is just comical. And now – maybe Levitt looks like he's going to go to LSU unless things change here. So it's like, how funny are the times we're living in? It is objectively funny. It's funny how dumb all of this is. Really. I mean, listen, if you're going to jump, you're going to jump the shark. I mean, just Bob Beeman it. Go way beyond it. Let's make this as funny as it possibly can be. That's, I can't wait for the fun facts bio, like how they do those fun facts on the bottom of rosters. And it's like, John Doe chose State Tech because they offered $50,000 more than anyone else. And he wanted that check. CTC, cut that check. Welcome back to 10 at 3, where if you were watching live there on the feed, you got a little bit of commercials. If later on, you might get a little bit of secret time, a little secret time. Although really all we did during secret time was laugh about how funny it is that the times we're living in with the whole Lane Kiffin, Damon Williams, Sam Levitt, bat courtside pictures, awkward. He leaves, goes to Knoxville, extends the visit by a day. Lane Kiffin comes by, hangs out, you know, at the Knoxville airport, tweeting pictures as he is wont to do. And while he's taking a couple of Tennessee players and also trying to get Sam Levitt in between his two trips, just, I mean, I tell you this, Lane ain't dull. He ain't dull. And the times we're living in, man.
What a great time to have your job. Tom has just been scrolling Lane Kiffin's X account this whole time.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. It's pretty, and I will not confirm or deny reports that occasionally in the past Lane has posted something funny, and then I may or may not have gotten a private message that was just a laugh emoji. So he knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows what he's doing. And it's, hey, you know what? I know I ain't a popular man around here, but darn it if it ain't funny. Darn if it ain't funny. And if, by the way, even if Sam Levitt doesn't go to LSU, even if Tennessee is able to turn that around, what's fascinating to me is that right now, Tennessee has 12 games on the regular season schedule next year.
That airport pick.
There you go.
I recognize that airport.
Yep. And he also took pictures of the hangar where, like, they're putting all the Tennessee memorabilia up there on the wall.
Oh, I got that one too.
Hold on. It's the second or third time in the past couple of years that he's tweeted that picture. It's just it's good. There you go. It's just, there's nobody else who even comes close in terms of just the sheer hilarity on this.
They're masterclass in trolling.
Yes.
And it's true.
No, that's what it is.
Excels in it.
That's
a PhD in it.
It's hey, if we were all the same, life would be boring. If every single one of us were the exact same all the time and agreed all the time and did everything, ate all the same food, had the same personality, believed in the same things, life would be really boring really quickly. But here's what's interesting, guys. Even if Tennessee, if the portal stops right now, if it shut down right now, and just the guys who have signed go where they go, Tennessee has 12 games on the schedule next season, regular season. Five of them, potentially, will be played against a former Tennessee player. In five games, all SEC games, Tennessee could be playing against former Tennessee players. Because just in the past, you know, week or so, what's been going on? Max Gilbert to Arkansas, Jordan Ross and William Satterwhite both to LSU, Lance Hurd to Kentucky, which you want to talk about. How badly does somebody want to stay at left tackle? Bad enough to go to Kentucky and play football. That's how bad he wanted to do that, which he was going to have to move to the right tackle at Tennessee. Didn't want to do it. And he wanted a lot of money. And you know what? He got it. Now, again, ask Gerald Mincy. Grass is not always bluer on the other side. It is not. There might be pictures. I hope there's no situation where late in the season where, you know, Kentucky's like 4-8 or something, and there's pictures like there were of Gerald Mincy sitting there in the hot dog line wearing his senior day jersey during the game. Just, you know, we'll see. But Ricky Gibson goes to Texas A&M, which tells you how much money he's going to get because they pay down there. That's a lot of money. And then, let's see, there was one more, I believe, or that's the one so far, and there's a couple others who are still visiting or looking at places like Vandy and some other places. And, you know, Tennessee's hosted a running back from Florida, Jacoby Jackson, good player, good solid player. There's some other guys they're looking at. Obviously, the quarterback from Mizzou's been in town. There's others. But right now, it seems like the main prerequisite to come to Tennessee in the portal this season, did you play at Penn State at some point? That seems to be the theme. And obviously with Jim Knowles being at Tennessee's defensive coordinator, you expected some of this, but I'll tell you, Tennessee got four good ones from Penn State. Headlined by Chas Coleman, that's the big news. One of the top overall talents in the entire transfer portal. I think a lot of people have Levitt at one. Some people have Soresby, the quarterback from Cincy, at one. But regardless, those guys are usually 1-2. Chas Coleman's up to number 3 overall in some places in the portal. Other places have him at 5. That's a big get, and that's one of 4 Nittany Lion defenders who are coming to Tennessee. All Big Ten linebacker Amari Campbell, safety Dewan Lane, and senior big ol' tugboat defensive lineman Xavier Gilliam. That's 4 guys from Penn State. And I'll tell you know what's big about this? First off, those are all solid to great prospects. They're either solid players already or good players already or just outstanding prospects. I think Chas Coleman was a reserve last year as a true freshman at Penn State, but he had something like a 22% pressure rate coming off the edge, which is absurd. Made some big plays against Ohio State. Good football player, really dynamic talent. But other than that, that's 4 of Tennessee's 9 commitments as of the time we are discussing this. Again, by the time we're done with all this today, gosh knows what's going to be going on. But there were some others. Gavin Freeman, a slot receiver slash return specialist from Oklahoma State. He committed to Tennessee, and he joined Cooper Ranvier, the kicker from Louisville. Ori Williams, the big offensive lineman from LSU. Kayan Lee, the Auburn corner, really good player. And Quay Moss, the safety from Kansas State. So Tennessee's at 9 right now, which is already more than Tennessee has done in some years. And there will be more. I don't know how many of them. There's still some big names that are considering Tennessee. And Tennessee, if right now, put it this way, right now Sam Levitt is not in Tennessee's portal class, and Tennessee is still actively trying to make that happen. So that should tell you how much money Tennessee has if it needs it here. That the reserve fund is still kicking for now. So there's still the door is still open. They're still trying to let people into the room. So this class, obviously needs a quarterback. We all know this. So we talked about that a lot, not just in the first segment today, but throughout the past couple of weeks. We have discussed this. So if this is the only segment you watch today and you say, why? You're just saying this is a good class. It doesn't even have a quarterback. No, we said that and you weren't paying attention. That's your fault, people out there in the world. We did talk about that. Other than that, aside from that, Ms. Lincoln, how was the play? They've got a good class of people right now in the fold, and there are more visiting who will be good players. All you can do in an offseason, you know, you got to coach your players. But before that, the most important thing you have to do every offseason, try to make your roster as good as it possibly can be. Try to keep guys that you want to keep and try to add dynamic guys through recruiting, through the portal. And right now, Tennessee's lost a couple guys you don't want to lose. Last I checked, so has literally everyone. So let's not even, I mean, guys are at Ole Miss leaving the portal right after they come within a hair, you know, of maybe playing for the whole thing. So let's not, and when Miami's season ends, guys are going to go in the portal. Indiana, I don't know if they can. They're more like AARP age than portal age, but like I'm pretty sure a lot of them is out of eligibility. So we'll see, but I would expect even some guys there have and will go into the portal. This is what happens. Everybody loses players they don't want to lose every single year. Every single year. It is darn near impossible to stack rosters of having guys wait a couple years to go play. You can still do it. You can't do it across the board. Nobody can. It does not exist. There is no amount of money that exists that will prevent you from losing guys you don't want to lose, because they're either not going to like your coach, or somebody's going to offer more money elsewhere, or because they don't love the way they fit in the system. They don't love the position coach. They have a couple ex-girlfriends in town that they don't like and they want to get away from. Anything out there could be happening. Maybe they don't like the weather. Maybe it's too hot or cold where they are. Maybe they just miss mom. Any number of things could be happening. And you are going to lose guys you don't want to lose. So we can't ignore that. That is part of it. Tennessee's got 25 guys as of now, I believe, that have gone into the portal. And as we've said many times, that number, bit of a misnomer. It's a bit of a misnomer because you're looking at that and you're saying there are too many names in that portal. But a handful of those are walk-ons, and another handful are guys who, you know, either weren't on the active roster this season or might as well not have been. So it's a dozen or so guys that I think you kind of would have liked to have kept, but it's not the end of the world that you didn't. I mean, a couple of those guys, like, you know, Hurd, Gibson, I mean, these are guys you don't want to lose. Ross, you don't want to lose. Certainly you don't. But if you're going to lose a Herring and a Ross, but then you go get a Coleman, I think a lot of people would say you upgraded. Now you need another guy. They need to go get another edge. I think they're working on that. But, I mean, all you can do as a coach in this day and age, before you can even start coaching this team in the through winter workouts, before you can get them into spring practice, off-season workouts, in the meeting rooms, before you can do that, none of that matters if you haven't put the best roster you can together. Because if you put together a good enough roster, look at that comedy of errors that Miami had in that semifinal game. It made 8 to 10 plays that absolutely could have lost that game. Just dumb stuff. Dropping passes, penalties, horrible play calls that were out of rhythm, abandoning the run game at times when they were getting whatever they wanted on the ground. All those things could have lost the game, but they won. You know why? Talent. Put together the roster, give yourself a chance. It worked in the long run for them. They could win the whole thing, or at very worst, come in second. Not bad. So what Tennessee has done via recruiting high school and JUCO players and through the portal to this point is put together one of the best classes of incoming talented players in America. That's what Tennessee has done. Now, again, this is not, these are not stationary targets. Everybody else doesn't stay there where they are and give Tennessee a barometer for where it needs to be to then gauge how much did it really improve. Because you know what? If you improve by 10% and your rivals improve by 15 to 20% and they were better than you last year, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be even better than you this year. So you can't just put what Tennessee's doing in a vacuum and disregard everything else. You can't do it. It's not how it works. But what Tennessee can control relative to the way you can control anything in this era, because you really can't, to the extent that you kind of can, you just bring in the most talent you can every year. Try to put it together. Try to keep the chemistry as good as it can be. And try to get those guys to understand as much as they need to understand to go out there and play fast, give you a chance. Tennessee is doing that. Now, it still needs some stuff. Still needs some stuff. Running back, need. Another edge guy, at least one more edge guy, need. Maybe okay in the secondary, but more absolutely would not hurt there. Offensive tackle, got to have it. Got to have it. Maybe even one more interior guy. You could use that too. Receiver, I think you're okay there maybe. If it's the right guy, maybe another one. That could work. Running back, you need at least one, maybe two. Tight end, I think you could use somebody there. There's some business to be done here. But with what they've done so far, after the weekend they've had. And I know if they don't get Lovett, I know that's disappointing. That's fine. It's disappointing. But, of course, he's also coming off an injury, surgery, some things. We'll see. There's some questions there even if he does go to LSU or Tennessee, wherever he goes. But you take him and ask him what he needed and then make it work and take the chance. Absolutely. No question in my mind. So what they've done with what they've added now, and this is the biggest part of it for me, other than the quarterback, which, again, you got to go do. One of the biggest knocks, there's not a lot of knocks on Jim Knowles as a defensive coach. And I know we've talked about this for a month now. Not everything that happened at Penn State last season, that predated him by quite a bit. And some of the results that happened after the coaching stuff, after the coaching changes and all that, whatever. That's the ship had sailed by that point. But one of the biggest knocks, one of the only real knocks on Jim Knowles is that sometimes it takes a couple years to learn his defense, right? They say it's a complicated defense, and sometimes you just need to go through a season and take some lumps, have some MAs, get lost a couple times, and then you start to understand it, and then you're good to go. Well, you know how to expedite that process? Go get four guys who played on your defense last year. And this is crucial, at least one guy at all three levels of the defense. Two guys on the line, one linebacker, and then a safety on the back end. That's all three levels of the defense where you have brought in a guy who has played a fair amount of football, sometimes a lot of football, for this man in this system, and they played it at what has, sad to say, maybe the best conference in America right now. So, hey, SEC hadn't played for the thing in 3 years now. Now, you can be still the deepest conference in America, but you can't keep not winning the Natty now for a third year and keep just beating your chest and saying you're the best when other people are like, really? Are you looking around? Like, there's a conversation. Let's say at least the co-best league in America, at least. And they've played a lot of football there for this man at a high level. So that's a way to expedite things. That sounds like good news to me. That sounds like a plan coming together. That's what that sounds like. Don't you love it when a good plan comes together? And they got to figure out quarterback. But all these other additions, they make sense to me. I look at all these and I go, get it, 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 down the line. I get all these additions. And they're going to make some more, and we'll see what they are. But for the 1,437,643rd time, they do need to add a quarterback, a veteran quarterback. So, again, it's an incomplete right now, but the parts of it that are complete look pretty good. I think they do. I think if you're calling this fair, if you're being fair about this, done some good work here, and they had a good weekend. Now, go get a quarterback. Go figure that out. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball, which I got to tell you, not going to be as pleasant as a lot of this football portal conversation has been. But you know what? The truth is the truth. No matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent, the truth is the truth. And there it is. And we'll talk about it coming back in just a minute right here on 10 at 3. Secret time. I wish I could remember. It's one of my favorite quotes, but I would butcher it if I didn't get it verbatim, about John Adams talking about the truth. Do y'all know that quote? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't. I'm trying to search it.
John Adams probably had a lot to say about the truth.
Oh, no, a lot. Yeah, here it is. I've got here it is. He goes, let's see here.
It's the facts are stubborn things quote?
Yes. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. So the truth is the truth, and facts are stubborn things, and at the end of the day, there they are. So that's why people say all the time, you know, I wish you would give more good news, or why have you done so much bad news lately? And what I've always said for years, stood by this, quarter century, a minute then, meant it now. I'll mean it forever. There are no good stories. There are no bad stories. There are true stories and there are false stories. No good news or bad news. Just real news or not real news. Truth or an obfuscation or a lie. That's all it is. This is all just, you know, and truth can be a subjective thing in some ways to some people. They say it is in terms of, well, my truth, your truth. Here's how I saw this. Here's how you see this. I don't really go on board with that, but I understand the thought process there. But at the end of the day, the whole conversation's got to start with facts. You got to have something to anchor a conversation. You have to have, okay, here's where we agree on the stakes. It's like setting the rules of a game. This is a two-pointer. This is one. This is three. That's all. That's all. Are we still on Secret Time? Are we back now?
I think we should be back now. My timer blinked out, but I think we're back.
Welcome on back then. Welcome on back to 10-3, where we spent the secret time during the break. Although I keep telling you secret time, so it's maybe not so secret, but I like calling it secret time, so I'm still going to do that. Discussing facts, discussing the truth of a conversation, discussing how people talk about good news and bad news when that's all a bunch of nonsense because there's truth and there's not the truth. There is facts, and there are opinions, and there are lies. Or lies, and lies you tell yourself to make yourself feel better. You know what they still are? They're lies. That's what they are. You can lie to yourself, and it might make you feel better. It might make the people around you feel better. And in some situations, no, honey, that looks great. It's fine. It's fine. Right? It's fine. But at the end of the day, you just have to be honest about some things because if you're going to play a sport, you have to lay the ground rules for the sport or you have chaos. And conversations, it's the same thing as if you don't have anchors to conversations, it's the same as a game without rules. There's no winners and losers. There's just chaos. Everyone loses. It's pure chaos. If you can't start conversations with things that everyone agrees are true and then base everything else around that. And what we can say is this. This Tennessee basketball team commits an objectively horrible, stupid, no good, very bad, unacceptable number of turnovers. We can all or should be able to accept this. When you have the talent that is on this team and with, let's call it what it is also in this era, the money some of these guys are making, committing 12 turnovers in a 20-minute half of basketball is disgusting. It's disgusting. Committing, again, nearly 20 turnovers in a game in a 40-minute game, I very rarely say things like this. Very rarely, because I think some people say this too often when it's not necessarily the truth and they're exaggerating things. I mean it in this case. When you commit this many turnovers, I question how much pride you have in what you're doing. I question how much do you A, want to be good, or B, understand what it takes to be good, or C, both. I don't say these things lightly because I don't. People say them to be, talking heads say them all the time, and it's just nonsense. Total nonsense. You can try really hard and still just make mistakes. You can have a bad day. That does not mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you don't spend 355 of the 365 days in a year working your tail off to be as good as you can at something. You just do it and you mess up. But when you consistently turn the ball over this much, and when you occasionally miss the number of free throws that are being missed, but I'll set the free throws to the side for now. Just the turnovers. Just the turnovers. I question, like, okay, do you want to be good? I think you do. I think you want to be good. I'm not going to say you don't, but I'm not assuming it right now because I don't have anything to assume that. We have no reason to assume that. We normally do. Right now with this bunch, we don't. But beyond that, I think you can agree that I would hope we could agree that they don't know what it takes to win. Because if they really knew that, they would not turn the ball over 12 times and a half. They would not turn the ball over nearly 20 times or 20 times in a game that's 40 minutes long. They wouldn't do that because you will lose almost every game you play when you do that. And this is some of the stuff Rick Barnes talked about today, too. We'll get to that here right now before we wrap up discussion of today. I don't know if we'll get to Dwayne Brown. We'll see. But first, we might have to kick old D-Wayne back a day. Freshman, sorry, you can wait a day. We'll go right now, at least with Rick Barnes from this morning's practice, talking about where Tennessee basketball is, heading off of the game against Florida and heading into the A&M game tomorrow night in Knoxville.
More frustrating when you went back and watched the film?
I'm not sure it can be any more because I had to watch it live, you know, but it's the way we turned the ball over, just so many unforced turnovers, and they're really a good basketball team, but you can't turn it over the way we did, give up that many more opportunities for a team that good to have, I think, 15 more shots and 30 points off turnovers, but there's still a lot of other things that, you know, defensively that we obviously weren't happy with, but it's all fixable.
Rick, it's obviously a marathon, not a sprint. How do you deal with the inconsistency? Just the one game you execute the scouting report, the next game you don't. Transition defense good, one game not so good. How do you manage the inconsistencies, and how do you fight through it?
Well, one, you're right, endurance is the name of the game. It's wanting to be where you want to be at the end of the year, but it's a great question that I've asked a lot in the last probably 3 weeks, trying to find out dependability. You know, who can we count on every single day? We've just been too inconsistent. You know, we've put way too much on Jacoby. You know, other teams are making him work for every step he takes on the court. I look at that. We need more consistency from our front line, probably as much as anything. And that's not just scoring. That's being where you need to be on ball screen defense, because oftentimes Jacoby's in those screens more than anybody, and he's having to work really hard on the offensive end. And then the other area is our other guards, because when other teams put our other guards in position, they're going to have to handle the ball more than maybe they're used to. Are they going to make the right decisions? Are they going to get us organized when, you know, teams are just flat out taking Jacoby out? And we've talked about that. I mean, we told him almost every game going in how the other team's going to play us based on what we know about them. And so there's a lot of little things that can be big things if we don't see it. And that's a great question, and I don't have an answer to it right now, because when I asked them that question, what do you think their answer is? I don't know. And that's probably – I don't know, understand it either. For as much as we talk about it, as much as we – and I know we got a group of guys that care, but all I can tell you, in the end, I tell them that if they don't fix it, is because they really don't care, because it's right there. I mean, there's no question about it. And it'll always come back to your training, your preparation, the process you go through. If you don't do it every single day and understand it, it's simple. You got to get better every day. I mean, we had some guys, and I told him yesterday, you know, had some good games back early, you know, a month ago, but they were fine with it. And that's not – you got to get better. I showed them right before the Florida game. We played them 3 times last year, and it was really amazing how much both teams, Tennessee and Florida, got better from the first game to the last game. And obviously Florida goes on to win the national championship. We go to the Elite Eight. because of improvement, and that's what this team's got to understand. I mean, it's a long way to go, and we have to get better, and we got to get better as individuals. We got to really understand the game, because when you turn the ball over like that, and I told him yesterday, you don't understand the game of basketball. You don't understand athletics. You know, it's hard enough to beat somebody, let alone, you know, you beat yourself by just not taking care of what I think are simple details.
And there's Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes speaking this morning here in Knoxville about the state of things. And you know, it's said this many times, Rick Barnes always does blame himself first when things don't go well. He just doesn't always say it. And at his age, it's hard to kind of change some things, if we're being honest. And I think there's younger coaches who sort of grow up in this era of understanding more about this is the only era they've ever coached in. So they understand that whether it's right or wrong, they have to come out every single time and say, this starts with me, yada, yada, yada. It's a little different when Rick Barnes got going in the business. And I think it was just a different way that you handled things. And even though you knew it was your fault, but you didn't feel like you had to say that every time because you thought people just assumed that you meant that. And I think Barnes, over the past couple of years, he's made some strides in that area of trying to kind of change that, because I think his stance has always been, wait, of course it starts with me. I'm the coach. Do I have to say that every single time? And for right or wrong, there are people who want to hear that every single time. So people always say Barnes is throwing players under the bus when, again, it's just not – it's objectively wrong. That's not what he's doing. He knows it starts with him. He knows that if they don't do something correctly – that he's got to coach it better or differently, or just put somebody else out there who will understand it. He knows this. But I think what he's saying there is not wrong. What he's saying is, if you're going to turn the ball over this much, I don't know if you really want to be good or understand what it takes to be good, because you keep doing this, and when you keep doing this, we're going to keep losing games. So on the road especially. So do you think this is acceptable? And he says that the players consistently tell him, no, it's not. They consistently go out there and say they understand things, and then games start, and then things kind of spiral sometimes, and they commit more turnovers. So kind of, again, kind of trapped in a circle there, right? Time is a flat circle. But I think he made a good point there, in that when you look at Tennessee's game at Florida last season, it was bad. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. Of course, the one on Saturday wasn't a lot better. And we saw by the end of the season, both of those teams got a lot better. Tennessee became an Elite Eight team. Florida became a national champion. So you can improve. You're allowed to do that. You don't have to be what you are now. And at times, in Barnes' tenure at this time of the year, you'd be like, yeah, let's start the tournament right now. You'd be in January saying, let's start this sucker right now, because this team has got it. And I think it's been pretty clear from the beginning that this team would not be like that, that this team would need a little bit more time to gel, because you didn't have guards that have been there for 15 years. It's different. You have to get a grasp on things and understand things. And even as good as Jacoby Gillespie is, he's had to make some strides defensively. And without Amen consistently stepping up to score the way he needs to score and can score, then people are able to throw everything, including every kitchen sink in town, at Gillespie. And so these things, like Estrella can play better, Okpara can play better. I don't think there's a guy out there who can't play better. And I think they have the talent to play better. That's the good news. That's the good news. Things can get better, and not just because they can't get worse. They can get better. This team, by the way, still ranked 24th nationally. So the streak continues. Tennessee's been in 90 consecutive AP basketball polls, which leads the country. Kind of hanging on there like a Sly Stallone cliffhanger at the moment. Figuring out if they're going to – thought they might tumble out this week, but they held on. They can be better. And they're at home this week, which is good. But you got to hold serve at home. And then eventually, you got to figure out, I mean, you've beaten Houston on a neutral floor. you can do this. We've seen you do this. But you're going to have to take care of the basketball. That comes down to mental focus, mental strength, and understanding what it takes to win. Because if you do, I'm not out on this team. I'm not. Full stop, I'm not out on this team. I think this can be a really good basketball team. Will it? I mean, I thought it had been a little bit ahead of where it is right now, but I think the talent is still there. I think all that is still there. I think there's another piece to Nate Amon. I really do. He showed some good things over the weekend. It's just that other guys took a step back. But we got a lot more to talk about this tomorrow, too, because we're just getting started on where things are. This is a big week for Tennessee basketball. Also a big week for Tennessee because the portal closes on Friday, and there is a lot that can happen between now and then. And obviously a quarterback needs to happen. We'll say that for the 1,000,000th time. Yes, they need to get that figured out. Hopefully we'll have a little more news on that in 23 hours. We'll definitely have updates. I don't know how concrete they'll be, but we'll make them as firm as we can while telling you the truth, while not lying to you, not misleading you. We're not going to do that. We'll be back here telling you the truth as we know it in 23 hours.